Good morning. Some people said they were tired out there, so I'm supposed to talk real loud, keep everybody awake. So I'll work on that. I just love this weather. It's pretty nice outside there. We had a fire last night and just relaxing by the fire. Not last night, but the night before, I guess it was, yeah. But this kind of cool evenings are great. Which brings me to start the sermonette, split sermon. Let me make sure I got the right thing going. Mosquitoes. Blood suckers. That's what I used to call them. Maybe it's not the most appropriate thing, but as a little boy, blood sucker. You know, you use the bicep. I don't know any of you men have ever done that before. And they start to bite you, and you're like, if I flex, so you always hear that wives' tale that I can explode him. But really, you just get a bigger bite. And then you finally hit him, and there's blood all over you, and it's your own blood. But they're itchy. They're irritating. They can ruin that barbecue feast that you have outside. And they have an uncanny act to get you right on the ankle when you're outside. And the next day, you're itching and itching. Or if you ask my daughters when they camp outside in our treehouse, they put the sleeping bags all around, so only right here is showing, but there's 14 bites right here on their face. They come in, they look really good. And you guys have fun? Yeah, it was great. And I go when it's colder with the girls. Sue's did it when it was a little warmer, so there was mosquitoes were out. But mosquitoes have that uncanny knack to know when you're about to hit them, or when a friend is about to hit them on you, and then they move, and then they have this red handprint on yourself. And no, really, there was a mosquito there. And or my mother-in-law's favorite is when the mosquito's in your bedroom, and you hear that, where is that thing, in your ear and everything, and it's keeping you from enjoying that great sleep out there. And but you know, last time I talked about Satan being like a snake and the venom. This time, I think Satan is a lot like a mosquito. I think you can learn a lot from him. Mosquitoes are always trying to suck the blood out of your bodies. And Satan is always trying to suck the joy out of our lives. They both are irritating. They're nuisances. They both can have sickness, physical sickness, malaria, West Nile, and Satan can give us, if he's biting us enough and we're drawing away from God, bitterness, other things that can cause us even spiritual death. But they both try to take that joy out of those special moments, like ruining that barbecue feast and kind of like trying to ruin the feast that we're about to go to. And with worry and trials and other things like that, Satan and his partners seem to swarm around this time of the, right around the feast time. They just seem to swarm. If you've ever been to Minnesota on a camping trip or anything, way out, and when I was in camp at Orr, we went way out in the boundary waters, and there the state bird is the mosquito. So I think that's where Satan comes from, and that's where his biggest kindred are. Not the people up there, but just that type of mosquito. I think he's that type that's so big that you need a transfusion after they get you. But we still had a great time up there. He did not suck the joy out of those camping trips. They're awesome. But has any of us ever gone to the feast without one good trial? You know, we were talking about that over dinner, and sometimes, you know, you try to stay positive, and you kind of, those go to the past, but then you start to, yeah, there was that trial. You start laughing, but then you're like, boy, we sure weren't laughing when it was happening. But then it was just neat to talk to my in-laws around the table about different trials that they had went through the feast. But or some issue or problem that is just hard not to think about at the feast. You know, you're supposed to leave your worries here, but the worry, it's kind of like that mosquito buzzing in your ear at night. You know, you're like, get away, and it goes away for a while, and then it tries to ruin you from enjoying that really good sleep in between being interrupted by your children in the middle of the night. But we still love our children. But Satan is a joy sucker. Satan is the most miserable, unhappy creature. He doesn't want anybody to be joyous. Satan has a lot of different ways to try to suck the joy out of the feast this year. Like worry. We went to the feast one year and down in Jamaica, and Wilma, not Wilma Wise, but Wilma, a hurricane was coming, a Category 5. And Satan was trying to make us worry. It's like, okay, don't go. It was supposed to not hit us, but, you know, we're still going to go. And you got a 2.5-year-old and you got a 3-month-old. Should we go? Oh, and you go and you're like, put it in God's hand. And it worked out. Or beheadings down in Mexico last year. That can rob you of the joy and worry 10 miles away from the feast site. But have faith. That's not going to keep us from going. We're going to go. Or jobs. I talked to my father-in-law. He had lost a job once from going to the feast. Or you just get a job in this economy, and then you're like, oh, if I go, will I worry? Do I need to come back? Also, those frustrating circumstances when we want to get to the feast. You know that feast fever? You got everything packed and everything, and you go to start the car, and oh, no. And your car's dead. Or the AC. Or everybody's probably had a story where your car's broke down. Ask my father-in-law. Cars break down. It's great stories. If you want to talk for a couple days, just talk to him. He's awesome. But he's great at fixing them. And so he makes the best out of them. Or airplane problems. I don't know anybody that travels a lot. Or everybody has a story at the feast. One of mine is so childish that I can't believe I did it. I got on a plane to go to Hawaii. 12 hours. There's no TV. Suze, there's no TV. I sounded like a little boy having a fit. There's no TV with the kids. We need a TV in front of us to kind of keep them. And Satan was trying to zap that joy. And then she's like, it comes out from the side. Huh. Okay. Thank you. But then you're like, such little things can... Satan tries to take those little things, and we got to be on guard because those little things can seem so big when your kids are hanging on you, and then finally you want to relax and just have a good time, and then where's the TV? Health problems. I remember one time we had chicken pox right before. It didn't look like we were going to go, and so we're all finally got healed up, and we had hoodies on, and we're like, so nobody would think that we're going to give them something, and we got on the plane, and then my mom was sick all through the feast too, but we still went and still had a great time. Or some of the youngers that have school professors that say, no, we're going to just fail you. And it's like that buzzing. The whole time during the feast, you can either let it buzz and like, is Satan going to sap that joy from that feast? Or are you going to just put it in God's hands? Or an unconverted mate. I've never had that situation, but I've heard of some situations where that's a loud buzzing in your ear the whole feast. It can be. Or you can just put aside, and they're like, wow, you're just amazing that you just go on. We're going to have a great feast. But Satan tries to suck that joy out of our feast for us every year. There's some way that he's going to try to put some stumbling blocks and from helping us to enjoy the feast to its fullest. Because this is our biggest spiritual feast, our biggest spiritual barbecue in the backyard. And there's a swarm of mosquitoes that are going to try to ruin it. The feast is less than 2 weeks away. Let's make a plan, a goal to focus on joy this feast. You need a plan to deal with your mosquitoes, you know, whether it's a bug zapper, which I think are pretty cool, and a swatter off or whatever. You need a plan to pump that joy into this feast this year so Satan won't steal it. And if he steals a little, we're going to pump some more joy into it. So if you can write this down in your notes at the top someplace, our goal this year, is to make it the most joyous feast. Is to make it the most joyous feast ever for us and anyone around us. For us and anyone around us. First thing with goals and making something happen, you got to write it down and you got to look at it. And it's something to look at during the feast this year. Think about that. And tell me you didn't have a good feast when you are focusing on that. But like A-Team, I love it when a plan comes together. I'm dating myself, none of the kids understand, but Satan doesn't want this plan to come together. But before I get into joy, I just want to do, because there's a difference between happiness and joy, and if you've read, and the world thinks happiness is joy, they're interchangeable, but just a little reminder, when I was reading Naked Fruit by, which is on the Fruits of God's Spirit by Eliza Morgan, what is happiness? Happiness is comes from the root hap. What means chance? It has to do with life going the way we want it to. And a feeling, just an experience, an emotion. And the world's caught up with too much materialism, just happiness in that way, superficial. What is joy? From that same book, it says, joy is a confidence in God confidence in God despite the circumstances, despite what happens. Joy is a conviction that God is in control of every detail. He's in control of our lives, even though the details appear to be out of control. This is a confidence that comes with an intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, who is pure joy. If you read the Good News magazine last month, I think it was in August, Don Hoosier, he gave another little definition of joy, which went a little farther. Think of joy as a strong foundation which supports a variety of healthy emotions, including happiness. And the long-range evidence of joy is a general gratitude, a contentment, optimism, a sense of freedom, like from your worries, and other positive attitudes. That's what we want to be exhibiting this feast and focusing on. How can we be grateful? Because especially in the U.S., we have so many physical blessings, but there's going to be so many spiritual blessings with our sermons. Contentment, optimism that this is going to be a great feast, a sense of freedom. God, put it in your hands. I'm going to have that this year. Just remember, joy is not an option, especially at the feast, which pictures such a joyous time. If you turn to Philippians 4:4, Paul's in prison here and reading this. He says, Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. It says again, rejoice. He's in prison and he's rejoicing. He's making the best of it. He understands God's working out something. We're going to the feast. How much more joyous should we be and be focused on it and helping those around us to be joyous and not let Satan suck that out of us? So let's go through 60 points. I mean six. Just want to make sure everybody's awake. 6 points on how to pump up this feast with joy. If any of you have ever seen Saturday Night Live, I don't recommend it, but Hans and Franz, you know, I want to pump you up with joy. It might be corny, but guarantee when you go home tonight, you'll remember, I want to pump you up with joy, okay? At least all the men that are corny and old like me will. But our first point, have that plan, maintaining a close relationship with God at the feast will help pump up that joy into our feast. Every day, maintaining that relationship is like putting that off on. You don't just put it on one at the beginning of the feast and keep the mosquitoes away. You have to do that off every single day to keep Satan and those nasty mosquitoes off you. If we neglect our prayer, Bible study, or meditation, Satan is going to find a way to zap us and suck that joy from us. Maintaining an intimate relationship at the feast with the one who is the source, Jesus is the source of true joy, will help to keep that joy in our feast. If you turn to John 15:5, John 15:5. Yes, Jesus says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, close in me, and I in them will produce much fruit. What fruit are we focusing on right now? Joy, joy. He says we will if we maintain and we stay close with him. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We're not going to have joy. We can do nothing. If we neglect that relationship with God at the feast, Satan will suck the joy out of the feast. I remember we were at Jamaica, and every once in a while, that hurricane went to the side. But every once in a while, there was these big wings of the hurricane that would come off, and it would rain like I'd never seen ever. Or it'd be cool, just cloudy. But what did that happen from that? Some people were like, oh, it's ruining the feast. And other people were like, hey, it's a little cooler for us. We had little kids. It made it even better for us. Our hotel, the balcony, would get blaring sun in the morning. But a lot of times there was a coolness because of all the clouds, and I could study out there. So through some of the trials and things, there's some good things that can happen that probably help me to have a better feast. You have to have a plan. If you just have a hotel room, is it praying in the bathroom? Yeah, I love going out on the beach and just praying someplace and just being outside. God promises to give us joy if we pray and ask for it. And pray for all the members in that site to have that joy too. John 16:24. I was ready to turn a whole bunch of pages and I'm already here. That was good. And this is a living Bible here that I'm reading from. You haven't done this before, but ask using my name and you will receive. And you will have abundant joy. So ask in his name and you will receive abundant joy. We have to have faith that will happen. And then also ask in our prayers when we're maintaining that relationship for the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Through the Holy Spirit that God shares with us, he communicates his joy. That's how he's communicating this joy. So ask for more of that Holy Spirit, which opens up that line to help us to produce more. Here in Thessalonians, the church is going through persecution. People are being killed and stuff. And he goes here, so you have received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. That joy is coming from the Holy Spirit. In spite of the severe suffering it brought you, in this way you imitated both us and the Lord. So by asking for that, God will give it to us and help us. And praying for all those speakers to have more of that Holy Spirit too. Anybody speaking really enjoys every prayer you can give them. Second point out of just six. Giving and serving. Focusing on giving and serving will help pump some joy into our feast. Look for ways to give anonymously. Give by taking someone out that needs it. And not just the money, you know. Stay with them and fellowship with them. And we are living sacrifices, giving of our time. But you have to have a plan. Write down a couple of ideas on, hey, where can I? Am I going to serve in volunteering? Am I going to serve what? Take care of babies for somebody? But then also be looking for opportunities. Others, hey, you got to have that plan. Now let's turn to Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35, Paul writes, and I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than receive. Focus, it's great to get our feast gifts and stuff like that, but it's more blessed and be looking for ways to give of your time and than to receive. Focus on loving others through this giving, and that'll bring in that joy because you're imitating the source of joy, Christ. And do it. Serve it with joy and enthusiasm. And whether you have $1 million or $1 to help somebody, or $1 million or 1 second, do it with joy and enthusiasm and do it the best you can. If we turn back to Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Here it gives a warning about not, if you don't. But it shows Christ, it shows God's desire for us to serve. In verse 47, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, abundant. We can't even count how many. You will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. But focus back on the first part of that verse. Serve the Lord God with joy and enthusiasm. That's what he wants us to do this feast and every day. Third point, taking time to count our blessings. Take the time to count our blessings. We'll pump your feast up with joy. My boss at work, it's funny, he's religious. He gave us a little leather book, and there's been some morale issues, and he's like, each day, write down one thing that you feel blessed for or you're happy for, whether you're religious or not. Write down just one thing. And he's like, it'll get you in a better mood. It'll get you in a better frame. And actually, it's going to bring you more joy. So I say, one of the things you can do is each day when you're getting ready, you're getting everything and you're looking through your notes or you're getting ready to take notes, think of one thing that the day before was a blessing. Write it down. It's going to be like Pringles. You know, you can't just write down one. You can't just eat one. And you're like, I could write a whole thing and then you're going to miss the whole message. But don't do that. But just do these little simple things. And it's amazing how much difference it can make. And everybody around you and your that joy is contagious. Talk to others about past feasts, their blessings, their trials, which turned into blessings, which will give you, if you're in the middle of a trial, wow, it worked out for them. I know it says it in the Bible, but when they hear other people telling that example that they lost their job, whoa, that doesn't sound good. They got a better job. That sounds great, you know? These things can happen, and it gives others, it strengthens them to have joy that they might not have been having joy through the feast because of that buzz of that little Satan mosquito was in their ear. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. And it talks here about always being joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. Whether we're in Cincinnati, Hawaii, whatever, God's message is being preached, and that's our main focus. And that's where we're going to get the true joy from. There's people that have gone to wherever you think is the most incredible feast site in the world and have been miserable. Because, like Mr. Swagger said, they went just for as a vacation. Or maybe they went for both. You don't want to judge. You don't know. But it seemed like they went for more than that because the weather ruined their feast. They were just in a terrible mood. It's like, well, I know we went a long ways, but that can't rob you of all the joy of that feast, because the main thing that's going to stay with you is those messages and applying those messages. That's going to give you that true joy. Fourth point. How to pump that joy into your feast. Sing every song with zeal and praise God in our hymn service. You know, so many times during the songs and with kids, guilty, you know, that's when everybody's getting everything arranged and stuff. That's a time to show thankfulness. Who hasn't got goosebumps listening to music from the choir? Put yourself in that framework that we are the choir singing to God. How many people up here in choir, when they're singing to us, are fiddling with something else? Unless it's children's choir, and then they're doing this with their skirts and everything else. But how many adult choirs are thinking, you know, opening the briefcase up here or other things? No, they're focused, and Dennis does a great job focusing them all and all the practice that all you guys put into to make a joyful noise. And that's the same we should do when we're there, is to say, hey, I'm going to be to church a little early. I'm going to be ready to be there to sing with zeal. And I'm going to make a joyful noise. I mean, I try to make a joyful noise. Jesus was saying I was singing a little loud today because I was thinking about this. And I was like, no, sing out. Because sometimes our sites aren't the biggest. They're bigger than here. But I remember some of the sites that were just huge. So sing out this year. And it will, that person that's down there song leading, it's going to make it joyous for them because all that's focused right to them, and they're just like, wow. Anybody that's song led for a bigger group, it's just incredible. But James 5 verse 13 talks about this too. James 5 verse 13. James 5 verse 13. For if any of you are suffering hardships, you should pray. Are any of you happy? Are any of you joyous? You should sing praises then. If you're happy and you want to be joyous, sing out. Sing praises to God. Or in Colossians 3:16. You don't have to turn there, but I don't want to wear out all our fingers. But Colossians 3:16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives with joy. Fill it with joy. Teach and counsel each other with wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with a thankful heart. Thankful hearts. That goes back to that joy, that attitude of being grateful. If you're singing with a thankful heart, that's a joyous heart. That's a gratitude. I'm singing out because, God, you've blessed me beyond anything I can ever imagine. Fifth point. Take time to appreciate God's creation. Take time to appreciate God's creation. So many times you can go to places, Disney World, whatever, and you're going zoom, 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 zoom. There is so much nature and creation around us. Take time to enjoy the beautiful scenery. Like I was saying, pray outside. Talk to your kids about the messages of the Bible things outside and enjoy and look at nature. When we were observing the hurricane coming near us in Jamaica, you're like, that doesn't sound too joyful. But the awe, the power, you're like, God has so much power. He can protect us from anything and squash Satan like a little mosquito. And he doesn't miss. But also, when we were observing that hurricane, that last great day, we had rain showers worse than any day. And somebody made the analogy that it was like the last great day is when God pours out the Holy Spirit to the entire everybody that's ever lived that last great day. And I'm like, today, this visual, I never will ever think of the last great day the same. I'm just like, wow, really? That is. I mean, because if you saw this rain, the water coming in the windows and everything, and it's like you can't even see 5 feet out the window, it's like that's how much Holy Spirit is going to be let out on the world. So that nature, observing that, helped me to think more about that last great day. Also, think about, you know, wherever you're at, the waves in Hawaii, Florida, Ocean City, the mountains, Whistler, Canada, Colorado, birds singing. Just take time. There's joy in there. And God, through His nature, He wants us to enjoy that. You don't have to be rich to enjoy what He's given out there and the beauty there. Even like we used to do the joke that we'd go to Dayton, Ohio and watch grass grow. Okay, that's a stretch. There's no joy in that. But Cincinnati, Ohio, there's a river. It's beautiful at night. And when it's not muddy, I guess, probably. But there is joy if you're looking and you're focused. If you want to focus on the trash, it's going to sap the joy. But there's 10 billion other good things to focus on in God's nature, whatever feast site you go to. Sixth and final, focus daily on why God is allowing us to go through trial. Because they are going to come this feast. Small, great, big. Ask each day, God, help. God, give me the patience. Give me the Holy Spirit to be able to have joy no matter what happens that day. I say, write down, figure out one scripture. Write in your feast notebook. Some people have their own feast notebook, and that's what they dedicate to each one. A scripture that, or two, that really will help you remember that or memorize it. A lot of you probably already have it memorized. I have a hard time memorizing and keeping it memorized. I'm short term, so it's nice to reiterate. But keep that on the tip of your tongue, because trust me, like when we were down in Jamaica, I stumbled a lot when we were trying to get out of there at the last day. And they said, oh, it'll probably be 3 days before you can get out. What? Oh, you can buy a new ticket for $2,000. No, I need to get out now. And asked Suze if I had issues and how I talked. Did I talk joyous to the attendant there? No. She was tugging, you need to talk nice. But when you go back up there, when they said they had tickets finally, and then they're like, okay, but your one daughter who is 2.5 will be going to Atlanta and you'll be going to North Carolina. What? But there's a reason. And we got to stay 3 other days in paradise. The storm went by. We built bridges with other church members from other sites. We developed relationships. Everybody was working together. I had extra time with my daughters on the beach to just talk about God and what it all had happened. Instead of being back at work like everybody else was, I was on a beach with my daughters. But I was letting mosquitoes zap me with all my joy. But luckily my wife has a swatter which was helping me. Sometimes she was swatting me. Did you get it? Yeah. Okay. But I don't even know where I'm at now. Oh. But like verses, like I was talking, Romans 8:28. And we all probably know this one, or as soon as you start reading it, you'll know. And we know that everything works together. And at the time, you might not be happy. You might be mourning. But mourning and joy can go together. Oh, this is not working out. This is not that great. Right at this moment, I'm uncomfortable. There's no air conditioning, and my daughter's diaper's leaking. I don't like this airport. You know, you can be thinking things like that and not be the most, but thinking God is in control, and that joy can take over and help you through it. Or Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. Write this down, that we can rejoice. Romans 5, 3 through 4. That we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they are developing endurance. They're in developing patience in us. They're developing strength and character. Strengths that confident the hope of our salvation. The reason for this. And it's like in James 1, 2. Write that one down too, if you don't mind. And think on some of these verses, or pick the one that really comes to mind for you that will help you when that lady says you're going to be stuck for 3 days, or some other little issue that you don't think is going to make you snap or suck some joy out of your feast, but ask God to have that on the tip of your tongue to help you. James 1:2, dear brothers and sisters, brothers, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Consider it an opportunity to let your light shine. We're going to be doing a sermon around the entire world with the way we are living, which is stronger than any sermon that anybody can say up here. God's message is going out to the world, wherever you are going in your feast site, the way we live and the way we conduct, and whether we're full of joy. If we truly want to make this the most joyous feast, we have to have a plan. Whether you take one of these ideas or all six of them and try to work in them, it's going to help us, because Satan definitely has a plan already on how he's going to try to suck the joy out of our feast like a big, nasty mosquito. He hates that we are keeping God's holy days. Please remember these 6 points to help us have the most joyous feast and anybody who is around us.